You know, in all four, well, really, with all four gospel writers, after Jesus resurrected from the dead, before he ascended into heaven, he met with his disciples and gave them instructions. So in Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth.'" That's a lot of authority, right? "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore," because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus, "therefore," he said, "go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And then he says these words that should assure all of us, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." In Mark's gospel, Mark 16, 15, he says to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Now, Luke, when they put the Bible together, I don't know why they didn't put Luke and Acts together, because Acts is the second book that goes right along with Luke. Luke wrote it also. So in the book of Acts is where he tells us, Jesus said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And then in John's gospel, I love this picture here. The disciples are afraid. They're locked up in this upper room together. And Jesus shows up in this room. He didn't even open the door. He just shows up. And he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." These are instructions that Jesus gave the disciples and that he gives us after his resurrection. He's saying, "Here's what you're supposed to do now. Go. Go. Go out and make disciples. Go out and tell people about me." That's the job he's given the church, to go. Luke tells us in the book of Acts, there were around 120 people gathered in an upper room, and they were praying, and they were waiting for the gift that Jesus had promised them, the Holy Spirit. And they waited and prayed until the Spirit came, and it says it was a sound like a violent wind. He doesn't say the papers were blowing around. It was the sound like a violent wind. It brings back the image of when Moses met with God up on Mount Sinai. And there was thunder, and there were ram's horns, and there was all this commotion going. Here they are in this room, and they hear the sound like a mighty wind. And then, it says, it was like flames that settled over each person. I just get these images of what's going on here, reminding us of what was going on in the Old Testament. The mighty wind is what happened when Moses held out his staff over the Red Sea. The Egyptians coming to get them, and they're trying to get into freedom. And he held the staff out, and it says the wind blew. It's not like some of the movies you see, and it just parted. It says the wind blew all night long as he held the staff out, and the people walked through on dry ground. They went from slavery to freedom. And in this room, as that wind, sound of a violent wind blew, the people are being brought from slavery to freedom. And there's this flame. You remember what led the Israelites as they went through the desert at night? It was a flame, a pillar of fire. During the day, a pillar of smoke. And so now, here comes these flames over each person. He's leading each one of us by the power of his Spirit. We just have to follow the flame. We just have to follow the Spirit. People just have to go when God calls us to go. I mean, that's the Israelites. The sea parted, but they still had to decide they were going to go. They had to take that step into freedom. Over 400 years before that, God met with Abram, who later became Abraham. And he said, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. God is a God who says, go. Go. At Pentecost, he's calling the people to go. Follow the flame. Follow the Spirit wherever he may lead you. Now, some people, God calls to travel overseas and to live in another country and to learn a new language and to learn new customs in order to share the good news of the gospel, to share about Jesus, to share that God so loved them that he sent his son to die for them. And we get to share that in other countries and other languages. But he doesn't call all of us to go to another country or another culture. Some people he just calls to go across the street or across town or across the political aisle to show and share Jesus. We just follow where the Holy Spirit leads us. We are all called to go and be disciples making disciples. And a disciple is someone who follows and imitates their rabbi. So we invite others to come along with us as we follow and imitate Jesus. We should be able to say, like Paul says, follow me as I follow Jesus. Imitate me as I imitate Jesus. John Maxwell, the pastor and motivational speaker, says, 89% of what people learn comes from what they see, 10% through what they hear, and 1% from all the other senses. What we do, the way we live our lives, influences the people around us. If you want to influence your children or grandchildren to live a certain way, then live that way, because they're going to imitate you. And what you say should just amplify what you are already doing. And you're never too young to disciple someone in the faith or in age. When we begin to follow Jesus, we can invite someone, come along with me. We're going to learn this together. We're going to read Scripture together. We're going to interact Scripture in life and see what's going on. That's how we make disciples, by living life together. That's the way Jesus did it. And I have proof. Now, this might be a little pride here, and I forgive me for that. But I've got proof that we're never too young to disciple someone. These are my grandsons, Theo and Andrew.
Yeah, what do you do with Theo? Are you reading Andrew the Bible?
That's how we make disciples. Woo! If you have not been through our real life discipleship class, we're going to open the sign-ups for it before long. The class is going to begin in the end of January. It runs 12 weeks. 5 nights, you've got homework to do in that book. But I'm going to tell you, it helps train you and helps you understand what it means to be a disciple who makes disciples. It's a class where you build a bond with the people that you're in class with. You learn a lot, and it's also a lot of fun, because as a church, our emphasis is we are to be disciples making disciples. We can only have 10 people in the class. So when we put the sign up out there, you want to get signed up and ready to be a part of it. Everyone leading a small group on leadership team has to have gone through the real life discipleship class, because we are called to get out of our Sunday seats and to go. to go make disciples. It looks different in different places with different people, but we follow that pillar of fire. We follow the Holy Spirit as he leads us. And we have opportunities to go or send others to be witnesses in different places. We're not all called to move to another country. We're not all called to go on these mission trips we go on, these short-term mission trips. But maybe if you're not called to go, you're called to help those who go. Not everyone left Jerusalem at the day of Pentecost. Some stayed. Others went out. Some went out for a few days. John and Peter, we see, they went out where the Spirit was moving, and they ministered there and came back. Others went out for years, like Paul and Silas. But then they came back and told what God was doing, kept coming back to the home base. We have opportunities in this church to do some short-term mission trips. In a little bit, we're going to hear from the group that went to NACA, to Native American Christian Academy in Sun Valley, Arizona. We've also went last year in February, we went to Jamaica. We're going to go again, not February 2025, but in February 2026, we plan on going to Jamaica again. I've been there and helped build a school and helped build a couple different churches there. You know, when I was there this last time, Lon A and I went down ahead of time, and I was doing some preaching down there, and Pastor Brown, who was the district superintendent and oversees all the mission trips, I got wondering. I said, is it really worth it for us to come down here? I mean, not only we send money ahead for projects, and we sent this year, it was $10,000 to pay for the materials and all, and then we pitched in another $500 because we needed some more rebar. But and it pays for labor and materials, those kinds of things. But I got looking at, there was 19 of us, and for our air travel and the bus and lodging and food and all that, it was about a total of about $22,000. And I'm saying, would it be better off if we just stayed home and sent the money down? And Pastor Brown says, no. When you all come, it encourages the people. It's like we're coming as the hands and feet of Jesus saying, we care about you. It's like God saying, I care about you. When we go down there, it encourages them and blesses them, and it brings their church together as well. So it's important for us. Some will say, oh, those short-term mission trips, they don't really do any good. Yes, they do. It's like the writer of Hebrews said, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Now, we're going to go back to Jamaica in February 2026, as I said, so begin to plan now. Start saving some money. Save your time off. Last year, it cost us $1,400 for each person to go. We had the $10,000 we sent down for materials. We had over $600 donated for tools. We had someone gave $1,400. They couldn't go, but they wanted someone else to be able to go. We took, man, I don't know how many suitcases full of shoes, and we were already accumulating suitcases full of shoes. And we think, well, what's the big deal with it? You would be amazed. The people don't have shoes. Or they're worn out. They're walking on the ground with shoes just draped over their feet. So because some gave, others went, there's an expanded church in Mount Matthew, Jamaica, which is like a little crossroads area. So more people can be reached for Jesus. So disciples can be made who make disciples. The pain, the sore muscles, the blood, the sweat, the tears of the people that went, the financial contributions from others made this all happen. And another ministry, a mission that we participate in, it's been going on now real heavy for the last couple of weeks, is for Operation Christmas Child. And Charlotte's going to share about that in just a couple minutes. But each year, people go out throughout the year and collect materials. Collect things, and then we have this big packing party, and we put all these things in boxes that end up going out to the children. People help out with fundraisers. People pay in order to, or contribute in order to pay for the shipping of the boxes that go out so that children get a physical reminder that God loves them. Not just this idea, oh yeah, God loves me, but it's a gift saying God loves you. And we equip the people in that community to make disciples who make disciples, like this one here.
My name is Moises Grossinger, and I'm from El Salvador. I actually don't know much about my own country because I was in an orphanage in the middle of nowhere, and that's where I grew up. Every Sunday after church service, it was family day for those who had parents. Every year, I waited, and not having them visit me, so I always asked myself, if I wasn't good enough for my parents, would I ever be good enough for anyone else? So that day when we were told that there were going to be people coming to our homes to bring us gifts, and they kept repeating the phrase, Jesus loves you, I started to walk away when a man motions me back, and he tells me, where are you going? You don't have a shoebox yet. And I quickly reply, but I don't have any parents. And that's when he looked directly into my eyes, and with a smile on his face, he just hands me the shoebox and he tells me Jesus loves me. As I received it, I kept looking at it and I started to walk away. And I looked back to see if the man was going to come back and take the shoebox back, but he didn't. And he knew what I was thinking, so he just smiled and waited for everybody to have a moment to open the shoebox. That day was just full of joy. So my wow item was a soccer ball, and I couldn't believe that it was mine, that I just remember opening it and receiving that soccer ball. And I just remember just playing in the orphanage. We had a big field to play on, and I just remember running with the soccer ball all over the orphanage. So it was that moment when I realized that I was loved and I was seen. With my shoebox, I also received the Greatest Gift booklet. And that's when my prayer journey began, and I started to pray for a family. When I was 10 years old, I was called into the office of the orphanage, and I was told that there was going to be a family in the United States who wanted to adopt me. And I was introduced to my adopted family, and I just remember running to them and calling them familia. Now I live my life saying yes to the Lord because I have no reason to say no. He did not just give me a family, but He gave me a new life.
Pretty amazing to watch a video of a child who grew up to an adult and remembers that image, that item that they got. One thing that you think about, a soccer ball, how did a soccer ball fit in the box? They are deflated and we send pumps with them. So if you buy those items, buy those balls, they make pumps that are really small and we rubber band them together. And we were actually able to send quite a few soccer balls this year that were donated. Our Operation Christmas Child is a year-long mission. We send those boxes on the truck. The trucks will be picked up on Tuesday. We finish up today and tomorrow loading the trucks, and then Tuesday they go. Wednesday we start a new year, and we start collecting all over again. There, at our church, our goal this year was 700 boxes. We packed 840 at our packing party, and woo-hoo. We have had donations brought in since then. So Real Life Chapel, as of this morning, before we put anything else in, was at 930 boxes. Woo-hoo! Just for Real Life Chapel. That's a lot. We're also a central drop-off. So those boxes that are delivered to other churches in the area, they come here to drop boxes here. And then we also have cartons, those big boxes that we have to lift, and it's a lot of weight. It's like 40 to 50 pounds per box, and we have to lift those boxes up into the trailer. So those boxes come already packed as well, and they are being delivered to us in addition to the small boxes. So we got a lot of stuff brought in. The community has brought in 2,094 boxes as of last night, and total on our trailer right now, we have 190 cartons, and those cartons range anywhere from, we had one that only fit, I think, six in it. Yeah, that was the smallest one. Typically, they hold 15 boxes, shoe boxes, but we had one that just, they had monstrous boxes in there, and we had to close it out at six. So 190 cartons in there with average 12 to 15. That puts 3,238 boxes on the trailer right now. Yeah. And that's over 10,000 pounds that we have moved into that trailer this week. So think about that. All the people who have been here every night, we could not have done it without you. The biggest thing about this week that sticks out with me, it's not about how many boxes we have every single night. It's about the people that come out. And there have been nights this week where we've had so many I couldn't count. I think Wednesday we probably had 20-plus people here. And it was just the fellowship and being able to be with each other. There's food every night. It comes together as a community. And it's not all people from Real Life Chapel. We bring other people in, and it's when Pastor Mark talked about that discipleship, that is part of it, bringing people in and being able to talk and share what we do here at our church. Just to give you a mindset of the money that's involved with Operation Christmas Child, we get the donations throughout the year as we ask for things to be brought in, but each box to ship them is $10 a box. So that's why we do our fundraising. That alone, just for our 840 that we packed at the packing party, is $8,400. So that's why you see us doing the soup sales, the car show, all the things throughout the school year. I was going to say school year. Throughout the year. Can you tell I'm a teacher? Everything I say is through the school year. Throughout the year, we have to do those things to raise money. So if you're ever able to help with this fundraising, if you have an idea, step up. Our team has kind of gotten smaller. We need more people on our team to help. And we need people to help with fundraising to keep this mission going. And if you ever have any questions, reach out to myself. Melissa Book is a good resource as well. Michelle Freeman has done it as well. And any of the team members.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So as we talk about missions, we do missions closer to home as well. And everything we do should be about making disciples who make disciples. And that's what's going on with Operation Christmas Child. That's what's going on with Jamaica. That's what's going on when we go to Naka. We have opportunity, and we participated with, Refugee Mission Center or something like that is what they're calling it now in Hurlock. Now, Jeffrey Condon went out there a week or so ago and cut branches that were coming down over the building so that the insurance was happy. Todd Stills provided a heat and air system and going to put another one in when we actually build the walls and all in this place. If you went into this building, you would think you were in Jamaica. It's a little building, but what they're doing, they're going to make it so it's four rooms in there, and refugees can come in, and they can stay there while there's a staff that's going to help them get all their paperwork straight so that they can get jobs and that they can find a place to live, and they can be a productive part of our nation as immigrants coming in, all legally, instead of trying to come in illegal. Because we know, if you look at the news at all, you see what's going on in Haiti. You see what's going on in places like Honduras. You've got the cartels and you've got gangs that are overpowering. And regular old people can't live there in safety. And people are fleeing. And this is a place for them to come where it is safe for them. And they can go through the process in order to become citizens that actually contribute to our culture. And we get to be a part of that, and we get to share Jesus with them and tell them of the hope that we have. And there'll be more opportunities to come along with that. We've sent $800 before in order to help out with what they're doing there. We've got another $1,200 earmarked to go there. We get the opportunity to reach people from other nations without even leaving. And we're going to have a time, and I know I've been saying this for a while, we got to get some things put together, but we're going to have a time when we go down there and we're going to build walls, and we're going to build walls to tear down walls. How's that sound? In order to make those little rooms in there that they want. We've given Bibles for the boys to men in order to help make disciples there. We've supported Harriet House. We've hurricane relief. We are big supporters of the Choices Pregnancy Center. A lot of that, we don't even know as a church what's coming in from people from here. We have people that go to the banquet. We have people that walk. Our worship team plays worship and gives their day in order to go out during the walk in order to point people to Jesus and to celebrate together. We have an adult Sunday school class that gives money for benevolence every month. We go out and we have people in the community that need help, and we help them out, giving them gift cards or whatever it might be that they're needing at the time. We can't go everywhere, but we can go some places, and we can help some people, because Jesus said, go. He didn't say, just sit in your church. He didn't say, build it and they will come. He said, go. So don't get too comfortable. Don't get comfortable sitting in that seat. Because all of us are called to go. All of us are called to get a little bit uncomfortable. All of us are called to do something. Some might not be able to go to NACA, but you can help out with NACA with contributions, prayer, supporting the team. Now the team in NACA is going to come up in a minute. I got a video I'm going to show. Some of them are going to share about their experience. But they're going provides a place for students to live. It supports the staff and the students. It helps these students see that Jesus really does love them and that people would come to share that with them. But before we watch the video, I've got a note here from Keith and Carol. They kind of head up that group, and they couldn't be here today. So Carol wrote, Keith and I are so proud of our NACA team this year. They were so willing to serve, and it was truly a blessing to work alongside them. The following list gives you a glimpse into how the week went. We experienced flexibility practicing, canyon seeing, countryside wandering, finally, painted desert and petrified forest seeing, early rising, coffee drinking, breeze shooting, daily devoting, campus touring, hard working, concrete pouring, nickname assigning, floor scraping and leveling, new floor installing, electrical wiring, dorm painting, drywall patching, furniture moving, team building, game playing, crab walking, gift giving, cheerleading, victory celebrating, relationship forming, pizza partying, sermon preaching, chapel attending, song singing, rap sharing, should have done that with this, snack shacking, kid connecting, grocery shopping, meal making, prayer walking, baby teething, trash collecting, bodies aching, banana gramming, card playing, spirit renewing, knife citying, vision casting by Josh, vision catching by us, project completing, Winslow visiting, and celebrating a great mission completed. Thank you all for going and for the prayer and financial support from our church family. As this video plays, if the team would come on up. Is there sound? No. I told G I had it all fixed. It's Iron Man. You can all come up here, even those that aren't going to speak. We have some people that are a little shy.
Normally, we have chairs.
I know it. So you can dance.
I'm going to let somebody new go first. Well, wait, none of us is new. Oh, you're new! Yay!
My gosh.
That wasn't planned. So I really don't know how to condense and summarize this trip, because there was really something that happened every day that either impacted me or that I learned. But I will say that just the body of Christ coming together and doing God's work is a really special thing. It not only gave us a chance to help people that are in need, but it also gave us a chance to get to know each other, because even though a lot of us see each other every Sunday, it doesn't really give us the opportunity to get to know each other or to talk or to bond. And as you're working alongside some of these people, before you know it, you're sharing your life, you're talking about traumas in your life, and it can become kind of like a therapy session, and you can grow close with people that otherwise you wouldn't have the opportunity to. It gave me the opportunity to meet people at Talbot Bible and make friends that I never would have known. So I'm very, very thankful for that. And even just helping these kids, I mean, these kids come from some of the worst kinds of abuse and trauma that you can imagine. And this school is not only educating them, but it's teaching them life skills, introducing them to Jesus. And they get to go and take that back into their communities. They go home every 2 weeks, and they left the Thursday we were there, which is pretty heartbreaking to see, because you know some of them are going into some really hard homes. But they get to take back to their communities what we're pouring into them, what NACA is pouring into them. And hopefully it is going to put an end to some of this trauma, this generational cycle of abuse, and just change the reservations, change the way they live. I do want to thank Keith and Carol that aren't here for leading this. This mission is a well-oiled machine, and the amount of work that these people got done really attests to that. I'm very thankful to be a small part of this. I didn't realize going there that NACA was so understaffed, that they were on such a tight budget. They actually almost closed their doors 2 years ago, which would be a tragedy to that community because they are such a big help. There is something that we learned about while we were there, and apparently if you live in Arizona, whatever state taxes are taken out anyway, you can fill out a form and have your state tax money allocated to NACA. It doesn't cost you any more money. So if you know anybody that lives in Arizona, I really encourage you to inform them about that. Monetary donations are extremely important if it's on your heart to donate. If you want to sponsor a kid, it's $50 a month. And you can write them letters, you can send them gifts, you can even coordinate a visit to go meet them and to see the change that you're helping be a part of. You don't have to wait for a mission trip to go do that. So NACA definitely has a place in my heart, and God willing, I'll be back. So thank you.
Well, no one else needs to speak. Good job.
Just real quick, I think our most productive trip out there, but just thanks to the Lord, he got us together as a group. He got us there safely. He watched over us while we were there. He got us back home safely. But our most productive trip, as far as I'm concerned, but, you know, we took a large group with a lot of skills. They're very glad to see us, because many groups that go there, they're willing volunteers, but they don't really have skill sets. So, you know, we show up, we can do carpentry, plumbing, electric, painting, and the ladies did a lot of painting. Then the last day during the windstorm, we're trying to get the boys' dorm done, and we're trying to get bathroom vanity set, but every bathroom you go in, there are at least two, maybe three ladies in there painting the walls. And so you backtrack, find something else to do. But real quick, a big shout-out to Keith and Carol. They don't understand all they do. Before the trip, they talk to the folks at NACA. Carol arranges, and I know Michelle's got a lot to do with this, the airline arrangements. And then while we're there, Keith coordinates with the Working Witness people. Carol took care of, and Lauren helped a lot, and some other ladies that I don't mean to omit, but they kept us fed while we were there, kept the kitchen straight. It just made things go a lot better. If you can imagine 18 people coming back at the end of the day, trying to figure out what to eat and get it fixed. And the kitchen area is very small, so that just made it that much better. But they did a lot before, during, and after. So just a shout out to them. But glad to go, and we'll see about next year.
So this is my fourth year going, and it was the second year that Talbot Bible went with us, which was inspiration to me that what we're doing is passing on to other areas in our county. And we got a lot of work done, did a lot of painting, and every day met new friendships, people, like she said, that, you know, we sit next to or near and don't even know them. And then there's the older ones who we know, D-O and G.
Yes. No, don't pass it on me.
And it's just nice to see how the kids gravitate to them. And these children, really, it's nice to see them smiling while we're there and happy, knowing, like she said, where they're going home to is very sad. But it's a good opportunity, and thanks to Carol and Keith again, what they do is a lot of work I couldn't do. And for everybody here who helps donating and their part.
This is my second year going. Oh, sorry. My second year going, and I'm so glad I was able to go this year. Like going to the kids' games and everything like that, that really means important. It's important to me because I do a lot of coaching and stuff like that. So seeing their face when we walk in and they like cheer up, you know, like smiling at us, Dio got them barking and everything is great. Working with Mr. Ron, we need some young men coming up with us because Mr. Ron, he's Iron Man. Right? But just so thankful for going out there and experience that again. I'll probably continue to do that for the rest of my life and hopefully give it to my kids so they can do the same thing.
Now Keith said that Maine wasn't going to share because he gets nervous standing in front of people and speaking. But he wrote a song while he was there, and he's going to sing it for us now.
I gave it a deal.
Anyway, we had a lot of trades there. And this electrician, we call him Sparky. But we had a great time. But you know where God tells us, for when much is given, much is required. He gave us trades and to support our families, but when you give your trade out to someone for no profit, you just can't beat that. You can't put a dollar value on that. So if you have a skill set, make sure you sign up for one of these trips. We just it bonds us together, and we showed love to others.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So this is like our, I don't know, sixth or seventh year going, I'm not sure. And it's changed a lot for me and for him as well, but, you know, I'm taking the kids with me, and there's not a lot of things that I can do, right? I'm not up there screwing things in and putting flooring down with three kids. But why I go is for the kids there, right? So I'm playing with them at the recess. We even walked around the campus and picked up trash and stuff. We went to the game. We put together an activity night with Family Feud. That was really fun. And they just love that. And, like, just little games, like Minute to Win It games. I don't know if you've seen that, but they love that. And just being with them and showing them love is so important because one of the other guys, Eli, kind of did a little Bible study, and he mentioned that all the work that we're doing there is awesome. Obviously, they need a place to sleep that's nice and stuff, but eventually it rots, right? Because the work that we're doing has already been done once. We're just redoing it. But the love that you can give to those kids is going to last forever. So that's what's really important. And actually, a couple people, we went to the game, and then four other people, right? Yes, four other people went to a volleyball game. It was like almost 2 hours away. And some of the people were like, I don't know. I feel like I should stay here and work. but after they really were thinking about it, decided, you know what? Their parents are probably not going to be at the game, but they're going to look over and see that we're there supporting them, and that's going to mean a lot. And it really did. They just, their faces lit up. It was so sweet. So I absolutely love going. I plan to keep going every year till the day that I die, unless God says otherwise. yeah, so.
What she said. Psych.
I know you better not.
Now that I have this microphone, I have a sermon that God put on my heart. No, so the realness is you don't need a ton of skill sets. I don't know that I have any, but I still have been going every year.
I didn't.
Did you say amen?
Back there.
Deacon Mark, relax. But, you know, you could go and just love on the kids or just be there. And, you know, these kids don't see family. They don't see people who genuinely care about them. So the fact that they do see us year after year, just I was talking to Josh, the director, and he said, you guys don't realize when they see you guys with familiar faces, changes everything. Even for that short time that you're there, it's like it's like a family reunion just for that week. And like that's very important because these kids don't have families. Most of their parents are either dead or in prison or on drugs somewhere off the res, and they're raised by grandparents who can't really handle them. You know, they was talking today about how some of them go back to homes. I can't remember what it's called. It's a name for an old Navajo native home, and it doesn't even have a front door. And then, like, the walls are, like, just sheets or rugs hanging. So it's, like, there's no privacy, and it's not – that's sketchy. You know what I mean? Like, especially out there. I don't, you don't know what's out there? Armadillos or something? I don't even know what's out there. But it's nothing out there. It's goat heads out there. Lauren knows. She has some goat heads in her boots, you know, in her luggage and stuff. One thing I do want to say real quick about OCC is – it's kind of off topic because that's what my brain does. But we were in Israel like 8 years ago, and we got to go to a place in Israel that was called like Joseph's Closet or Pantry or something, and it was a warehouse full of Operation Christmas Child boxes, shoe boxes. It was super awesome for us like forever ago to be like, holy crap, this is, we've seen packing this. Now we see it in the transition stage, and which gets shipped, you know what I mean? So it's that's a huge ministry, you know. Of a sidebar, so that's important to pack shoeboxes, you know. Back to NACA. So Arizona doesn't have anything. You've seen the pictures, but I don't know if you did see, everybody's giving Carol and Keith praise and all that stuff. Did y'all see Keith's outfit, that one picture? He had on dueling plaids. This dude had on two different kind of plaids, his pants and his shirt. I was making fun of it until I looked at Carol's face. Carol was so into it. So that's his thing. He knows what he's doing. I'm surprised his plaid didn't say Premium Construction on it, but either way, it worked for her, and now I got to get doing a plaid. So thank you, Keith, for not being here and making me do this, you know. But it's a great ministry. It's a great thing to do. If you even feel a little bit like it's something you should do it, because you will be blessed, and you will also bless so many people. Amen.
All right. Thank you. So these were our missionaries. They've gone out. Y'all can grab your seats. But that's what God calls us to do, to go. And by them going, they could interact with these students there and show them a love that they might not see otherwise. But each one that went cost them $1,200. Then, as a church, we sent $5,000 in order to pay for materials. Talbot Bible sent another $5,000 with their group. So that was $10,000. And then our group bought pizza for the kids, did a snack shack for the kids, bought them hoodies. So all these things end up costing money to do. So here's where I'm going to bring this thing. We do OCC. We do NACA. We do Jamaica. We do area missions. We want to go and make disciples. On your the newer envelopes, tithe envelopes, some of them still have the old one, I look, but on here it has a place for tithe and a place for mission project. I asked Michelle to set up this mission project because that money is designated just for the mission. It's not to pay for somebody to go. We have a scholarship fund that we put in our budgets to help people that can't afford to go. We've got people in the church that help people go. But this is money for materials for the projects. Concrete, wood, flooring, all those kinds of things. It costs $10,000, $10,000 to $12,000 each time we go to Jamaica. All right, we go every other year. NACA is running $5,000 to $10,000. OCC is $7,000 to $10,000. All that adds up. What's easy for me is each week I add $25 on to my tithe and just put it in here. I've got my tithe, and then I got $25. This isn't to take part of your tithe and say, well, I'll just designate it over. It's over and above, just a way in order to invest, either weekly or monthly or however you want to do it. It's giving up one of those expensive Starbucks foo-foo coffees that you can spend $8 or $10 on, or eating lunch out instead of packing your lunch. It's not a huge sacrifice, but we could all do a little something. I figured it up. If 25 people put in $20, it'd be $26,000 at the end of the year. That would make it so we can just fund these projects. And because the people who are going are already spending $1,200 to $1,600 or whatever in order to go and be there. So this is a way for us as a church, if you can't go, and even if you can go, it's a way to participate. And when you do that each week, it reminds you about the missions and reminds you to pray for what's going on out there. Pray for NACA, pray for Jamaica, pray for OCC. Again, Matthew's gospel. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So when we make disciples, a part of that is baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we're going to do that this morning too. So I want to invite Gary and Daniel to come on up.